sir. Amen. Amen. What a privilege to be here with you this morning, Regis. Ever since your preacher asked me, I've been two things, nervous and very pleased that I get to come and preach God's Word. I love preaching God's Word. I can't believe God called me to pastor, but I'm glad He did. I'm glad I get to preach God's Word. I'm glad I get to preach every Sunday, and it's just a real thrill to be able to serve the Lord that way. And I'm thrilled to have my wife with me. Go ahead and stand up. That's my wife, Kim. We've been married for 32 years, and or almost, and so we're looking forward to that. And just wonderful. Man, God gives you a good woman. You found a good thing. He tells us that. And what a wonderful privilege it is to have a wife that loves me and first and foremost loves the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. It's a wonderful opportunity to be with you all at the couples retreat and just appreciate that. And thank you for allowing us to be here and be here for that. I want to introduce my mother. My mother's here. I'm just sitting third row back there. You can raise your hand or whatever, holler or yell. My brother is right there beside her, and they live up in the northern part of Indianapolis, up Lawrence, northeast, I guess. I don't get to the big city much, so I don't know everywhere that's around, but it is a privilege for us to be here, and I really appreciate your pastor. I have known your pastor for a number of years, the late 90s, I guess, when I first met your pastor. Tremendous man. He has affected me tremendously through the years. Just the faithfulness, the honoring God, His personality, His wife, this church, and what this church stands for. This church is known all state as a rock, a steady remembrance of who God is and what a church should be like. This church is a pillar, not in just Indianapolis, but in the whole area of Indiana and through the United States. This church is an established church for the honor and glory of God, and it is well known, and a lot of that is because of the ministry of your pastor and the stability and the leadership of your pastor. You've got a great pastor. You've got a great pastor, and you need to support. I know you do. You need to pray for your pastor, and you need to lift him up and the pastor's wife. And the pastor's wife's probably the most neglected person in the church as far as church, because a lot of times the pastor, you know, the pastor is the one that gets to preach, and the pastor is the one that gets to lead or be involved in ministry. And a lot of times the pastor's wife gets left out. And I tell you, without my wife, I am nothing. She is everything. My wife has been such a, without her, I couldn't be in the ministry. I couldn't do what God has called me to do, and she's been a helpmate. And I know your pastor's wife also, and you need to, and I know you do. You respect her, and you need to. Brother Tid, with being the national moderator, preachers like me, we're down southern Indiana. We're kind of out of the way. We're not, we don't get to fellowship a lot with different churches, especially like this. But through the national or the GIBF, especially him being moderator, it's a blessing for me. The Baptist Times, if you get the Baptist Times, you read that. The moderator's page there is tremendous help and encouragement. I just appreciate your pastor. What a blessing he's been to me. Well, we did have a good couples retreat. I thought we had a good couples retreat. I love getting to talk to couples and what God has brought me and my wife through. It's been a great blessing to be able to be a help to couples in different things. Brother Matthew, where's Matthew at? Where's he at? Oh, he's over there. Okay. I appreciate Brother Matthew. And it's so good to be able to, as Matthew's coming up here, to be able to, wholeheartedly be supportive of him coming to this church. What a blessing that is as a pastor to be able to do that. Matthew, I don't know if you know this, but some of you might, he's a Kentuckian. All right. Now, he didn't necessarily live there, but his dad did. And so, you know, he's second generation Kentuckian. And so I've always got a Kentucky joke I've got to tell, especially when there's, how many Kentuckians are here? Oh, amen. We could offend a lot of people this morning. There was a Hoosier working in the Kentucky and working together, and the Hoosier, I mean, he's been doing all the work, and he needs a break, and he devises a plan. He's going to fool the boss into giving him a day off. So he climbs up and he hangs on a light fixture, hangs on the ceiling, and the Kentuckian goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm going to act like a light, and when the boss comes in, he'll think I'm crazy and give me some time off." So pretty soon the boss comes in, and he looks up. He goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm a light." And he goes, "Get out of here. You take some time off. You need some time off." Well, as he walks out, the Kentuckian walks out behind him, and the boss says, "Hey, where are you going?" He goes, "I can't work in the dark." So there you go. All right. Take your Bibles, if you would, to Hosea chapter 10. We're going to use this, and we're going to give the principle, and then we're going to back up the principle through another scripture, through a text, another text. So Hosea chapter 10, we're going to be talking about the principle of sowing and reaping, or basically reaping. Now, we'll move from there to a story of Jonathan. Jonathan is just a man of God. I love Jonathan. I've preached several messages on Jonathan. Me and your pastor was talking this morning about Jonathan. What a picture of friendship. A friendship to the man of God. A friend of God and a friend of God's man. He is a man of great faithfulness. He was a fighter. He was willing to fight for the Lord and fight for the cause of God. And so we're going to look at him to try to bring out this idea of reaping. So if you'll stand with me, if you're there, Hosea chapter 10, we're going to read one verse. You might put your little tab there or ribbon there. We'll be back to end the message. But in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you so much for just a wonderful privilege to be able to preach your word, Lord. Thank you for being such a wonderful God, a merciful God, a God of great grace. Lord, we thank you, and we need your mercy, and we need your grace. And Lord, I pray today that as I preach that you'll be lifted up, that you'll be high and lifted up, that you'll be honored, that you'll be glorified, that everything said and done will be exactly the way you would have it to be. Lord, I pray if there's any lost, they might come to know you as Lord and Savior this morning. If there's one that's backslidden or one that's fallen afar off, that they'd be drawn nigh to you this morning. And if there's those that are, and no doubt many are motivated servants of the Lord, they're serving you and living for you, that Lord, it'd be a great encouragement to keep going, keep serving, keep fighting, that you might be honored and glorified, that we might reap righteousness for all eternity. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, the Bible tells us plain and simple here that we are to sow to ourselves or sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Now, this was strange to me as I sat probably somewhere over in there in this church. And somewhere in the 2000s, I don't know when it was, but it was a National GIBF Fellowship meeting, and Brother Dave Hardy was preaching here at this pulpit, this platform. He made a statement, and I am a pastor. I was a pastor at the time, and I've pastored for a while now, but when he said that, boy, a light bulb went off. I just, all of a sudden, wow. He said, this is just groundbreaking stuff, I know, but he said, the law of sowing and reaping is a blessing. Now, I never looked at it as a blessing. That's not how it ever affected me, because in my life, it was as my mom and other people, my grandmother and other people in my life would say stuff like this, "You do that, you're going to get it. You're going to reap what you sow, sonny." You'll get what you deserve if you do that. You know, that's how the law was to me. That's the law of sowing and reaping was, you know, and I grew up thinking, well, if I did anything wrong, God was just going to stomp me out. That's my idea. We didn't grow up in church, and I'm thankful today my mom's saved, my brother's saved, and we have a testimony of that. But we didn't grow up in church, when I was growing up, it was a very negative thing. What I sowed, I was going to reap, and that always scared me. That was always kind of glooming over me that I was going to get what I reap. God never intended it that way. God intended the law of sowing and reaping is that we'll sow righteousness and reap righteousness like rain, reap mercy like rain. God wants to rain blessings or rain rewards on us. Oh, wow, that's awesome. That's what I want. I don't want to be selfish here, but I'm telling you, I want the righteousness of God reigning upon me. I want the rewards of God reigning upon me. And so I sat there thinking, wow, what a wonderful thing that is. So I went home. Now we live in a farming community, and I'm just driving by, and I wasn't stealing. I just borrowed it. But I stopped and got out, and actually I just pulled over and reached out the window and shucked an ear of corn. A farmer, he didn't miss it, so it's all right. I'm using it for the Lord. But anyhow, I counted each kernel of corn on that cob or that corn cob. When I did that, it was amazing to me to find out there was 934 kernels on that one ear corn. Now, if you know anything about corn, most corn has 16 rows of kernels on it, and then there's somewhere any can be anywhere from, you know, none to 100, sometimes even 120 kernels in one row. Now, that's amazing to me that you could put one kernel of corn in the ground and reap 934. See, that's God's law. That's amazing. You can't do that in the stock market today. You don't get that kind of return in the world today. That's God. God's able to do that. And that's just a little glimpse into how God does it, that we sow to ourselves in righteousness, and we can reap righteousness like rain. And what a blessing it is to know that all I have to do is give my heart and life to Jesus in sowing, to working, to putting into my life those things of God, and in using Him for the glory of God, and God will just take care of everything for all eternity. I get to reap righteousness. I mean, look at the verse. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is high time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Wow. So, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 14. This is one of my favorite stories of the Bible. I've preached on it many, many times. Jonathan's life. You know, Jonathan was a fighter, and I think God likes a good fight. I do. I think throughout scriptures you can see that God likes a good fight. He liked watching David walk out across that battlefield that day facing Goliath. I remember a story when Job, the devil comes before God, and God says, "Where have you been?" And he said, "I've been walking to and fro in my world." That's how he said it. If you understand the Bible, he said, I've been doing what I wanted, going here and there in my world the way I want. And God said, well, you consider Job? He's not doing what you want. And it's almost like God picking a fight with the devil and using Job. And Job, through that whole circumstance, sowing righteousness. You think Job isn't wonderful in heaven today? The blessings that Job had today, you think it wasn't worth it? I say this all the time. I believe every martyr in heaven would come back and give another life. I think we're the only ones scared to do it. But here's a story of Jonathan as he's looking for something to do for the Lord. See, the army of Israel is sitting, and we can look at their verse 1 in 1 Samuel chapter 14. It says, "Now it came to pass on the day when Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father." Well, why didn't he tell his father? Well, look, Verse 2, and Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Megron, and the people who were with him were about 600 men. See, the Philistines had invaded Israel, had invaded God's land. It's a picture of the devil trying to take back from God's people a little bit of land. And here's Saul, the king, the commander of the battle. He's sitting under a pomegranate tree, taking it easy, and all of his men are sitting around him. And here's a man of God, young Jonathan. He's saying, I need to do something for the Lord. And as a Christian, we need to find something to do for the Lord. We must sow righteousness. We must be serving the Lord, doing what God would have us do. There is no place in the fight, there is no place in the army of God for someone to lay under a pomegranate tree and do nothing. We are to be serving the Lord the way the Lord would have us to serve. So here's Jonathan. He gets an idea. He says, hey, let us go do something for the Lord. The armor bearer said, oh, yeah, let's go do something. Well, look at verse 3. Let's read on down. It says, and Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. Verse 4 says, and between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over into the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozes, and the name of the other was Sina. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Mishmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint for the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. And Jonathan said, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come up out of the holes where they have hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up unto us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. What a story. What a story about the servant of God just doing the will of God and sowing righteousness. Now, the main thing, there's two main points of the message. The first one is, you have to be sowing. You have to do right. Find something right to do and do it. If it's bus ministry, if it's knocking on doors, your pastor talked about taking Bible tracts and passing a Bible tract out when you leave a tip on a table, when you talk to someone at Walmart, whenever you do anything you do, give someone a Bible tract. Tell them about the Lord. The first thing I do when I knock on a door at a house and I greet them, or as they greet me, I say, hi, I'd like to give you this. So if they kick me off the porch, whatever they do, push me, whatever they do, get mad, they've got a gospel witness in their hand before they ever leave. And most of the time when I pass it out, I ask them, will you read this? And they've got a gospel in their hand, and they've already made a promise to do it that will convict them later on. Even if they're not a Christian, it will convict them later on that they need to read it. So find something to do and do it. He's talking about a meal tonight, and the lady's preparing a meal. Hey, everyone can work in the kitchen. Everyone can take out trash. Everyone can mop up the floor. Everyone that can clean out a bus Sunday night, need to clean the buses. After youth rallies, you need to clean the buses. So there's always something that can be done physically around a church. There's always spiritual stuff that can be done. You know, everyone can be a prayer warrior. It's amazing to me that in this day and age that you have to be a 70-year-old or older female lady before you can be a prayer warrior. That's just messed up. I'm so thankful that in our church, we have men that are prayer warriors, young men that are prayer warriors, men that get up, that go to work at 4 or 5 in the morning, that get up early so they can spend time in prayer, praying for me, their pastor, and the pastor's wife, and praying for the congregation and the different ministries. Listen, you don't have to wait till you're elderly to be a prayer warrior. You can be one now. What I'm saying is, you must be sowing before you're ever going to reap. You must be sowing for the Lord. So get involved. Here's the story of Jonathan. I mean, he's sitting there. The Philistines are in the area. They're coming against God's people. He's not just satisfied with setting back status quo. Hey, the men were setting back doing nothing. But he decided, I'm going to do something for the Lord. So he says, hey, armor bearer. Hey, are you with me? Armor bearer, yeah, I'm with you. Let's go. But let me say this. They didn't just go willy-nilly. He said, let's make sure God's in this. Let's make sure that what we're doing, God's got a stamp of approval on it. And most of the time, that goes straight through the preacher, your pastor. And your pastor and I, you know that, and you've been taught that. And so Jonathan, he gets up and he goes and they discover themselves to the Philistines. And there's a testing, and they understand it's a providence from God. By the way, God definitely puts a stamp on it. When it's all done and over with and the Philistines are laying out dead, God creates an earthquake. The ground starts trembling. It's as if God's just waking everyone up and saying, hey, I want your attention. See what's going on here. And Jonathan gets the great battle, but the picture is they go over there and there's cliffs there and the garrison, the Philistines on top. The picture is Jonathan and his armor bearer climbing up on his hands and feet. Now, I don't know if you've ever did. We go to Arizona quite a bit, and we got family out there. My wife's family, some of them are out there. And there's a Camelback Mountain. Does anyone know Camelback Mountain? Yeah, I like climbing Camelback. I hike that every time I go out there. And there's places there you got to climb up on your hands and feet. I mean, it's steep, rocky, and everything. And I think about that. Jonathan, listen, he didn't get deterred because it was going to be a little bit hard. It's amazing to me how people get so excited about ministry and so excited about doing so, and then they find it as if they don't realize it's going to be hard. And as soon as it gets a little hard, as soon as a little sacrifice is involved, they step back away and they stop. So listen, just keep sowing. Just keep plowing that field. Just keep putting the seed in the ground. Just keep watering it. Hey, a little water here, a little water there, a little sowing, a little reap. God will bring the reward. Just keep serving the Lord. Don't stop serving the Lord. And so here's Jonathan, they're climbing up, and when they get to the top, I mean, what a picture. He's already wore himself out. The grace of God, the ability of God, the strength and the help of God, that when he gets to the top of the cliff, he's able to fight. And what a wonderful scene there as we see Jonathan carrying out the Lord's will in this place.